The whole universe was in a hot, dense state nearly 13 billion years ago. Expansion started. Wait. I used to spend hours on my terrace looking at stars in the night. And even as a child, I used to have these crazy questions that used to bug me. And I just loved sort of jumping and diving into these questions and trying to make sense of them. But I now live in a house that doesn't really have a terrace, and it's a real bummer because I have to look out of my balcony to look at the stars. Even then, of course, the city lights usually dim it, and there's a lot of light pollution. But today I saw Jupiter, and it was just so bright, and it's a pretty clear sky today. And it was just reminding me of some of the questions I used to ask when I first got interested in astrophysics and cosmology. And one of the things that didn't make sense to me was this question: why does anything exist? I wonder if you've thought about it. I don't know, but if you sort of zoom out of your life and then you zoom out of the solar system and, you know, you zoom out a lot and you sort of picture the universe, you realize there is no compelling cause, there is no mandatory reason that the universe should exist. Why does anything exist? Why is space not the norm? Why is nothingness not the norm? Why is it that these complex structures are actually formed, you know? Are there realities out there in which nothing exists? What is it that compels existence to become real? You know what I'm saying? And I think when you think about it, it's just almost circular logic. There's no way to go about answering this question. I mean, please do let me know if you feel there is a logical way to go about answering this question. But it's sort of redundant, so physicists ignore it for the most part, even though these days we are getting closer and closer to trying to answer it. Stephen Hawking was very intimate with these kind of questions, and he explored a lot of such queries in his books. I totally recommend the book called The Theory of Everything. If you've not read it, you really should. And so while I am thinking about this, I then say, well, okay, why is it that consciousness is so different? It seems rare. I mean, most of the things we see around us are inanimate. Therefore, we assume that the majority of everything in the universe is not conscious. Consciousness is a very, very rare violation, if you will, of entropy itself. Why? Because just the fact that you exist, that you're listening to a podcast and the sounds are entering your ear and a complex sensation of hearing happens in your brain, it's crazy, because entropy tends towards disorderliness. You, on the other hand, you are an example for organized structure, right? Get what I'm saying? Therefore, you violate the very basic nature of the universe. Time is tending towards increasing entropy. You, on the other hand, you are a temporary rebel against all of this. And yes, you will die, and that is sort of the dissipation of life. But it also ensures more procreation. But the point is, life somehow is going against the flow of the universe. That makes you think, I mean, wow. So first of all, we don't even know why anything exists. You know, in fact, I was watching a video by Roger Penrose, and he talks about the probability of the universe coming into existence. And it's something like one in a Googleplex or something like that. That's an insanely small number. One in a Googleplex, you should know, is like 1 divided by 10 to the power of 10 to the power of 100 or something. And it's a very, very small number. Therefore, the probabilities of you existing, think about how minute that is, right? But I think exploring these questions might seem useless to most people, but it offers so much perspective. First of all, it tells you that your ability to grasp reality is so limited. It's limited by the way your brain is designed. It's limited by your sense organs because you can only try to describe what you sense. Have you realized how hard it is for you to imagine a new sense organ? You know, if you've not done this exercise before, you really should. Try to picture an alien planet, and let's say you are God, and try to put these little creatures on the planet and try to make up your own sense organs. For example, here on Earth, we have the sense of touch, we have the sense of vision. Try to make up a new sense that you would put into these little creatures if you were to create them. And this exercise really shows you how dependent we are and how confined we are by our sense organs. And the way when I was talking about the structure of our brain being a confinement, I say that because your brain has evolved for millions of years, and it was primarily evolved in order to survive and to procreate in the best way possible. Therefore, your brain is sort of designed for stuff like reproductive efficiency, survival efficiency. And you, being a human in all your absurdities, you're using that ancient brain to try to figure out what black holes do, to try to figure out why supernova explosions happen. And then you are using that ancient brain to question your own existence. So I think really thinking about these kind of questions, allows you to embrace your own minusculity. I mean, you know, on some nights when I look up at the stars, I can almost make myself negligible. You know, the way you would make a variable in an equation negligible. Sometimes if it is small enough, you can just ignore it. And I realize if I just disappeared, not much would change. And that brings a whole lot of humility to your everyday living. And as distant and inaccessible as these answers may seem, they are very intricately and closely connected with who you are right now, with the fact that you're breathing, with the fact that you're listening to this, with the fact that you are conscious. And it all interrelates. So never ignore these questions that come to you and ponder about them. Ponder, and you will see how much you will, you know, increase your wonder for the universe. And there is this quote by Rumi I really like. I think I've mentioned it before. Trade your cleverness for bewilderment. And I think that is something really essential, especially today where it's so easy to get lost in our phones and in our own little lives. We forget the big picture. So I'm signing off. Anyway, the whole point of this talk was to sort of just remind you that the big picture exists, and maybe you should connect with it tonight. Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.